Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an immense style kick and turning it into something that feels alive, unstable, and dangerous in a controlled way. The goal is not just a louder kick. The goal is a kick weight that has movement, identity, and just enough human variation to make a rewind drop hit harder. In drum and bass, especially in jungle, rollers, darkstep, and the heavier neuro-adjacent side, the kick is part of the emotional engine. It tells the room the drop is moving. And when the crowd already knows the loop, the trick is to give them detail, not just volume. That tiny change in feel, tone, and timing is what makes people want to hear it again. We're going to do this inside Ableton Live 12 using stock tools: drum rack, sampler, saturator, EQ8, compressor, utility, auto filter, envelope follower if you want to get fancy, and optional resampling. Keep that in mind as we go. This is about control, not chaos. First, start with a clean amen-derived break and isolate the kick body. You want the transient and the low weight separated as much as possible, because once the kick is its own layer, you can shape it without damaging the character of the original break. If you're using sampler, switch to classic or slice depending on how much control you want. For the weight layer, duplicate the kick slice and shorten the tail so you keep the useful punch and low mid bloom, but not a bunch of extra junk. A good starting point is to tighten the start until the transient feels locked in. Use a very short fade to avoid clicks, and low pass the layer if it's too sharp or hissy. If the kick is too long, shorten the volume envelope so it's more in the 120 to 250 millisecond range. That gives you a hit that feels weighty, but not sloppy. In DNB, this matters because the kick needs to occupy a very specific pocket in the groove. Too long, and it starts fighting the bass. Too short, and it loses authority. Now build your layers with intentional rolls. Put the main kick body on one drum rack pad, and add a second pad for a supporting thump or sub hit. You do not want this to become an EDM stack, where every layer is trying to dominate. You want one main layer, one support layer, and maybe a tiny extra punch layer if the kick disappears on smaller speakers. Keep the low layers in mono with utility. Use EQ8 to carve out their jobs. If the kick sounds boxy, cut some of the 250 to 400 Hz area. If the sub support feels weak, give it a small boost around 70 to 90 Hz. The important thing is that each layer has a clear purpose. If you're not sure what a layer is doing, it's probably doing too much. Here's where the human feel starts to matter. Do not randomize everything. Humanize with velocity, but keep it controlled. In a drum and bass context, humanized should mean intentional variation, not sloppy programming. Set your velocity so the downbeat kick is strongest, the support hits are slightly lower, and any ghost weight hits are much softer. Think in phrases. Think in accents. A strong kick might sit around 110 to 127 velocity. Supporting hits can live around 85 to 105. A ghost hit could be anywhere from 40 to 70, just enough to imply motion, without stealing focus. If you want the kick to feel more alive, map velocity to something meaningful. Velocity to volume is the obvious one. But velocity to filter cutoff or saturator drive can be even better on the weight layer. That means each hit doesn't just get louder or softer, it changes attitude. A little velocity movement goes a long way. If the kick starts feeling too different between hits, scale it back. The best movement is often barely noticeable in solo, but obvious in context. That's the sweet spot. Next, add micro timing offsets. This is where the kick starts to feel like it's responding to the bass line instead of sitting on top of it. You are not swinging the whole beat wildly. You're just nudging selected weight hits a few milliseconds early or late to create push and pull. A kick hit placed 5 to 10 milliseconds early can feel urgent. A hit placed 5 to 15 milliseconds late can feel heavier and more menacing. Keep the main downbeat tight unless you specifically want a dragged feel. If you need a global offset for just one layer, use track delay carefully or duplicate the layer and delay the duplicate. The key is restraint. Too much timing movement and the kick starts sounding drunk instead of dangerous. A really effective arrangement trick is to think in bar rolls. Bar 1 of the drop should feel tight and confident. Bar 2 can lean back just a little. By the last bar, before a rewind or switch up, you can make the kick hit slightly earlier or harder to create anticipation. That tiny phrase logic makes the groove feel composed, not looped. Now let's shape the tone with FX. On the kick weight group, build a simple chain with saturator, EQ8, compressor or glue compressor, and utility. You can add auto filter if you want tonal motion. Start with saturator and give it a small amount of drive, maybe plus 2 to plus 6 dB, with soft clip on if you need extra edge. Then use EQ8 to clean out mud and reinforce the useful body. After that, a compressor with a moderate ratio, a slightly slower attack, and a fairly quick release can help control the transient without killing it. Finish with utility for mono control and gain trim. If the kick is too spiky, put the compressor after the saturator. If you want the harmonics to be shaped by the EQ, put the saturator first and filter afterward. There's no one magic order, but there is one rule. Don't flatten the life out of the kick. The goal is not a square block. The goal is a kick that leans into the bar. Now we get to the really useful part, automation across the drop. This is where the kick becomes rewind-worthy. Automate small changes in saturator drive, filter cutoff, EQ gain, utility gain, or compressor threshold over a 4, 8, or 16 bar phrase. Keep the movement narrow. You're not trying to transform the kick into a different sound every bar. You're trying to change its attitude. For example, the first 4 bars can be tighter and cleaner. The next 4 bars can carry a little more saturation and a touch more low mid presence. Then the final bar before the rewind can get a slightly stronger downbeat, a little more drive, or a tiny gain lift to justify the crowd reaction. That phrase-based evolution is what makes repeated content feel like it's performing instead of looping. This is one of the biggest lessons in heavier DNB. The listener is tracking progression, even if they're not consciously analyzing it. If your kick phrase evolves, the drop feels alive. If nothing changes, the energy flattens out. At this point, resampling becomes your secret weapon. Once you've got a kick chain that feels right, print a few bars to audio with your automation moving in real time. That gives you different takes of the same kick weight. Then slice those recordings and keep the best hits. Use the cleaner take for the main downbeat, the dirtier take for the pre-change bar, and maybe the version with more transient bite for a rewind moment or fill. This is powerful because it turns sound design into composition. Instead of one static kick sample, you now have a little family of hits with the same identity, but different attitude. That's exactly the kind of detail that makes a drop feel hand-built. Now think about arrangement like a DJ would. The kick weight should support the structure. In the intro, you can tease the kick with filtered or ghosted hits. In the pre-drop, strip back some of the bass and let the kick body become clearer. In the first 2 bars of the drop, give the strongest and most legible version. In the middle, add subtle variation. And in the last bar before a rewinder switch, make the kick a little more dramatic so the return feels earned. If you're working in a darker roller, let the kick become more pronounced right before a snare roll or bass turnaround. If you're in a jungle stepper, alternate a softer kick and a harder kick across the phrase so it breathes. If you're pushing toward neuro territory, keep the low end tightly controlled and use a brief saturation lift before a bass stab to make the rhythm feel more aggressive. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. First, don't make every kick hit identical. If every hit has the same velocity, same tone, and same timing, the phrase goes dead. Second, don't overprocess the low end. A short chain with small moves is usually enough. Third, don't add too much swing. Micro timing should be tiny. If it starts feeling loose instead of dangerous, you've gone too far. Fourth, always check the kick against the bassline and the snare. If the kick is fighting the sub, simplify the stack before adding more processing. And finally, don't rely on boosting lows as the first fix. If the kick disappears, check transient shape, saturation, and phase before reaching for more EQ. Here are a few pro moves if you want to push it further. Use a little soft clip saturation to make the kick denser without making it louder. Add a tiny mid-attack layer around 150 to 250 Hz if you need it to cut through distorted bass. Automate a low-pass filter on the supporting layer so the main kick feels bigger when it returns. And if you want extra club translation, check the whole thing in mono early. Dark DNB lives or dies on impact, not with gimmicks. If you want a more advanced variation method, build a small audio effect rack with multiple kick chains, one clean, one saturated, one rounded. Map them to macro ranges and move between them with velocity or clip automation. That gives you a more musical change than just cranking one drive knob up and down. You can also automate tiny pitch drift on the weight layer, just a few cents, to make repeated hits feel like they're breathing. Or try ghost hit call and response, where a low-level duplicate hit appears just before or after the main kick to create pressure. For a quick practice pass, build a tube bar phrase, load an amen break, isolate the kick body, duplicate it into a clean and dirty version, program 4 to 6 hits, and include one ghost hit and one accent. Vary the velocities, nudge one hit early and one late. Automate saturator drive by a tiny amount in the second bar, then render it and listen in mono. Ask yourself which version feels more rewind-ready, the static one or the one with movement. That answer will tell you a lot. So the big takeaway is this: Humanizing an amen style kick in DNB is not about randomness. It's about controlled variation, use layering, velocity, micro timing, and subtle automation to make the kick feel alive. Keep the low end mono, clean, and phase aware. Use saturation, compression, filtering, and resampling to create phrase movement. And in the context of a rewind wordy drop, always think about anticipation. The best kick weight is the one that drives the phrase forward and makes the return feel inevitable. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter voiceover version, or create a matching Ableton Rack setup with exact macro assignments.